Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson for today is unique in the cycle of Bible readings that we go through every year. The thing that makes this gospel lesson unique is that it's one of the very few that do not change from year to year in the three-year cycle that we go through. It's always the gospel reading for the second Sunday of Easter. Now, I don't know the official reason for this in the lectionary, the list of readings, since the lectionary isn't unique to the Lutheran Church. However, I have a suspicion that some Lutheran had a hand in this, because Thomas makes such a good Lutheran. We need to read about him every year. Thomas makes such a good Lutheran, you see, because he was given the truth, but thought it was just too good to believe, and so he didn't want to say anything to anyone until it was proven to him to be true. He wanted proof that Christ is risen. So, we Lutherans really like to hear about Thomas. Now, of course, I like to hear about Thomas because he's my namesake. But also because he's done for us all what we could not do for ourselves. He got to have the proof of Jesus' physical resurrection given to him by Jesus himself. You know, having proof of what you've been told, it brings such a great relief. It gives you a certainty that you can bet your life on. It's like this one young girl that I read about. She was part of a group of girls on a picnic in Washington State's Cascade Mountains. The girls, after the picnic, had taken off walking for a little while, but they went down a wrong trail. Now, after spending a terrifying night up in the high country, they were wandering around. They were hopelessly lost, and they were cold, they were wet, they were hungry. "They'll never find us," one of the girls said between her crying. "We're all going to die." Then a little 11-year-old Evanel Town stepped forward, and she said, "I'm not going to die. I've been told that if you follow a little stream, it empties into a bigger stream and finally you come to a town. I'm going to follow that little stream that we saw a little while back. The rest of you can come along if you want." So Evanel plunged off into the woods and straight away found the brook, and then the others started to follow her. For more than 5 hours, they thrashed around through the brush, making all kinds of noise, but following the stream beds, and of course the stream beds kept getting larger and larger, just like she'd been told. Finally, they heard voices, and they started to shout, and that brought the rescue party. But the trusting young girl had led the group to safety because she was convinced that she had been taught the truth, and she acted on the truth. Evanel could give lessons to Thomas and to you and I. She could give us lessons on trusting what you've been told by people that you can trust. Acting on that trust, acting is what she did. And in doing that, she demonstrated her trust in those who had told her what was true. For her, trust in what she'd been told wasn't just an academic thing. It wasn't just something to know. For her and those who followed her, acting on trust saved their lives. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that regarding our salvation, that we are saved by our own actions, but rather that the truth that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. That truth is what grants us the faith to trust and then to act. I'm saying that our actions reflect that we trust in that truth. After all, we've been given the eyewitness of what I think is a good Lutheran to the resurrection of Christ. What more do we need? Now, doubt, by the way, as Thomas expressed it, that kind of doubt isn't necessarily a bad thing. But perhaps in Thomas's case, he should reconsider what he doubts and what he trusts. Perhaps he should doubt the power of the Roman Empire. Or perhaps he should doubt his own certainty. And I say that because God's word always trumps doubt. He, Thomas, like the other disciples, had been told by Jesus many times before that the Christ would die and then would rise again. Thomas was there when Jesus brought Lazarus back to life after hearing Jesus say to Lazarus' sister, "I am the resurrection and the life." So Thomas, however, does have a certainty. He has a certainty about Jesus' death. That is, he has no doubt that Jesus is dead. What the disciples and the women have been telling him for the last week, and you got to think about that, a whole week took place. What they have been telling him for the last week makes no sense. And so Thomas is possessed of a certainty to not believe. By the way, what they're telling him, the disciples and the women are telling him, they're also struggling with that in one respect, because why else would they be behind locked doors? Thomas's doubt only adds fuel to their own struggle with what they believe. And that should ring bells for you and I. How many times have we refused to believe something that someone tells us that sounds outlandish or far-fetched? Especially something that later turned out to be true. Thomas had heard Jesus' claim to be one with God. And that claim to being the great I am, Jesus saying that, is what helped to put Jesus on the cross. But now, trusted friends, are telling Thomas that this same Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of the living God in heaven, has returned to life. What was Thomas going to trust? His own senses, that where he had seen Jesus die and was dead, or what his friends hiding with him behind the locked doors were saying? How could he not doubt? And yet, everything Jesus ever said had come to pass, including Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. Yet, even with all of that, Thomas is certain that Jesus is dead. And for Thomas, that was that. So, what is he to do when Jesus comes and stands before him in the gospel lesson today, and Jesus says those words, "Put your hands here. See my hand. Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas has to change what he doubts and what he trusts. And in doing that, Thomas becomes our teacher. Thomas becomes the one whose words recorded for us here are what we now trust. Like little Evanelle was told what would save her life if she was lost in the woods, so we've been told by Thomas's words that Jesus, now alive, is both Lord and God, and he is the Savior of our lives. Like Thomas, we would benefit from learning to doubt death and not life. We would benefit from learning to doubt death and not life. Jesus comes into the midst of the locked doors in our lives. Jesus comes through our fears and our sins, our worries and our doubts. And he speaks his words of forgiveness to us in these words in verses 21 through 24. Read these with me, please. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus' words delivered to the disciples and to us through the Holy Spirit the forgiveness of sins and the power of eternal life that he has won over sin and death and the devil. Jesus' words save our lives, and they deliver faith to us. Trust in what Jesus has done gives us the power to witness to that same trust to others. Like we said before, starting out, we've been given the eyewitness testimony of a good Lutheran to the resurrection of the Christ. What more do we need in order to tell others of what Jesus has done? Perhaps in our speaking boldly, as Evanel led her friends boldly, others may hear our words behind their own locked doors of sin and doubt, and so learn to trust in what Jesus has taught. May the Holy Spirit, which Jesus has sent to us, may he work in us and through us, so that we too might tell others that Christ is risen.
Amen.
May the